We believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is only one only simple and spiritual being which we call God, and that he is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good. We have, so far in our study of the character of God, we've looked at his sovereignty from Psalm 135. We've looked at his eternity from Psalm 90. And this afternoon, we want to look at his faithfulness from Lamentations chapter 3. So first of all, reading as background, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning at verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And now turn with me, please, to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The verses 22 through 24. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. If you would please keep it open there to Lamentations chapter 3, as we will be making reference to the earlier part of that chapter in a few moments. Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, Don was a successful salesman, but by the age of 44, he was struck totally blind. Not only was his sales ability hindered, but his ability to play sports and his capacity to enjoy the great outdoors seemed to be terminated. He became extremely angry with God. His anger with God was so intense that on one occasion he lay on the floor and cried, begging God to take his life and threatening to commit suicide. He was filled with resentment and bitterness. A short time later, he insisted on going for a walk. When no one in the house was free to take him, he angrily fumbled around and found his cane, searched for the front door, and against his wife's protest, made his way down the front steps and across the yard. He was determined to prove something to himself and his family. He crossed the road and in a state of disorientation accidentally stumbled into a creek. As he sat there, waist deep in the water, it seemed as though God was saying to him, "Don, are you cool down now? Trust me, I have a plan for your life." As he sat in the creek, he entrusted himself to the Lord. He yielded himself to God's will. A few years later, he was serving the Lord fruitfully as a representative for a mission to the blind. He found more joy and satisfaction in his Christian life than he had ever known before. Brothers and sisters, what was it that sustained him through his suffering? What was it that enabled him to overcome his anger and bitterness? He came to realize that God is faithful. He was sustained through suffering by a knowledge of God's faithfulness. He testified later that as he sat in that creek, he entrusted himself to his faithful Creator, and the Lord gave him strength and courage to face the challenges of his blindness. We all know people, don't we, who are struck with adversity. We all face adversity in various forms and at different times. Dashed hopes, unfulfilled dreams, a business venture that turns sour, the pain of loneliness, a handicapped child, a lost job, or an incurable disease. And on a larger scale, we read in our newspapers the accounts of terrorist attacks, murder, the threat of nuclear war, and so on, and we learn that this period of history is being called the Age of Anxiety. It's being called the Age of Anxiety. Almost daily, people see terrible scenes on their television screens. Thousands are starving in Africa. Innocent civilians are being brutally murdered in war-ravished countries. And many who watch these things on the evening news are tempted to ask, "Where is God?" Even Christians are tempted to doubt God's faithfulness when suffering strikes our lives or when we see suffering on a large scale in war-torn nations. Our suffering often makes no sense to us. We see no reason for it. We may be tempted to think that God has forgotten us or doesn't care about us. That is exactly what the people in Jerusalem thought in the days of the prophet Isaiah. They were surrounded by enemy powers which were constantly threatening them. And Jerusalem complained, saying, "The Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me." The Lord responded to Jerusalem's complaint, saying, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Jerusalem said, "The Lord has forsaken and forgotten me." The Lord said, "I am faithful. I am faithful." This afternoon, we want to consider the faithfulness of God as it was expressed by the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. We want to focus on the explanation of his faithfulness, the confession of his faithfulness, and the comfort of his faithfulness. The words of our text were written not during a time of prosperity, but during a time of great affliction and adversity. Judah was suffering. It was during a time of terrible sorrow that the inspired writer of Lamentations was able to say, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." It is commonly believed that the prophet Jeremiah is the author of Lamentations. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, states that Jeremiah wrote these words. Scholars have also noted that there are some striking similarities of style and language between Jeremiah's prophecy and Lamentations. Furthermore, the book of Lamentations was obviously written during the same time period as Jeremiah's ministry. Who was Jeremiah? Jeremiah was a prophet who served the Lord as his messenger during the reigns of kings Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. He served during the last 40 years of Judah's existence. Jeremiah witnessed the decline of Judah until finally the Lord sent King Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the city of Jerusalem. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 that Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah proclaimed the word of God, the judgments of God, and the covenant curses that would fall upon the rebellious and disobedient. He told Zedekiah and the people of Judah to repent, but they would not listen. Zedekiah refused to humble himself before Jeremiah and before the Lord. Therefore, in the year 586, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar marched into Jerusalem, broke down the wall of the city, burned all its palaces, destroyed all its precious possessions, brought the people in captivity, and most tragic of all, they burned the house of God. God gave them up to the enemy because of their sin. The prophet Jeremiah witnessed that whole terrible ordeal. And the book of Lamentations was his response to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Jeremiah lamented the wretched condition of Judah and the sin which brought about their destruction. By means of 5 poems, Jeremiah lamented the horrible devastation, loss of life, starvation through siege, and the fact that the nation had become so vile that the Lord departed from his sanctuary. And congregation, in the middle of this book, in the midst of pain, suffering, and tears, we find these precious words of our text: great is your faithfulness. What does the Bible mean when it speaks of the faithfulness of God? Psalm 36:5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." What is the faithfulness of God? The Old Testament word that is translated faithfulness is related to the word for truth. They both come from the same root, which means firmness or stability. When the Bible speaks of God's faithfulness, it means that God will always do what He has said and fulfill what He has promised. Listen to what the pagan soothsayer Balaam said about the God of Israel. Listen to these words: "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" Balaam understood that the God of Israel will always do what he has said and fulfill what he has promised. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28, David said, "And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. You are God, and your words are true." God's faithfulness means that He can be relied upon. He can be taken at His word and relied on to do as He has promised. He is perfectly reliable. There are several places in Scripture where faithfulness and truth are mentioned side by side. Faithfulness and truth. The prophet Isaiah said, "Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Revelation 21:5 says that God's words are true and faithful. And Revelation 3:14 says that Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is the faithful and true witness. Faithfulness grows out of truth. faithfulness grows out of truth. Since everything about God is true, then we can be absolutely certain that He is faithful. Brothers and sisters, how often do people go back on their word? How often do people fail to do what they have said and fail to fulfill what they have promised? Sometimes we go back on our word simply because we're not able to do what we intended to do. We promised to meet someone at 9 o'clock, but the snowstorm hindered us from getting there on time. We were not true to our word. Or perhaps we promised our children that we would go for a trip to the zoo. But we were hindered by a mechanical problem. The car was not running properly, and consequently, you failed to keep your word. Or maybe you promised your wife that you would paint the living room. But other priorities have taken all your time, and your promise has not been fulfilled. You said you would do it, but you've yet to come good on your word. People break their promises for any number of reasons. Sometimes it is laziness. Sometimes it is carelessness. Sometimes it is unforeseen circumstances. Sometimes it is loss of interest. Sometimes it is plain deceit. Sometimes it is sickness. Sometimes it is memory loss. But congregation, God always does what He has said and always fulfills what He has promised. With God, there is no laziness. No carelessness, no unforeseen circumstances, no loss of interest, no deceit, no sickness, and no memory loss. Psalm 89, verse 8 says that faithfulness surrounds him. Faithfulness surrounds him. And so, congregation, in the words of our text, we hear the prophet Jeremiah make a clear confession of his faithfulness. As Jeremiah looked around him, he saw unfaithfulness on every side. God's people had broken God's covenant, and Judah was unfaithful. Consequently, they were severely punished. Yet, in the midst of the tears, we find these words, verse 22, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Although Jeremiah witnessed terrible destruction and suffering, he was still able to acknowledge the mercies of God. The word mercies there in verse 22 refers to the covenant mercies of God towards His people. It was because of the covenant mercies of God that they were not consumed. The only reason they were not totally wiped out and destroyed was because of the covenant mercies of the Lord. The situation for Judah was terrible indeed. They were a defeated, broken people. But Jeremiah understood that things could be far worse. The Lord could have easily consumed them and wiped them off the face of the earth. Although Judah was in a horrible state, Jeremiah knew that things could be far worse. Now, congregation, I want you to look with me for a moment at the verses preceding our text. Please open your Bible once again to Lamentations chapter 3. And here we see the anguish of the prophet. Go back to verse 1. Verse 1. "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of His wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely He has turned His hand against me time and time again throughout the day." Jeremiah lamented the fact that God was against his people. God was afflicting them by the rod of His wrath. God had turned His hand against them. Verse 4. "He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago." Verse 7. "He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, He shuts out my prayer." Verse 10. "He has been to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. Verse 15, he has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Jeremiah was a man who experienced terrible torment of soul. He felt crushed and broken. God was like a bear lying in wait. God was like a lion in ambush. God was like a skilled hunter shooting deadly arrows at his prey. God had smitten them dreadfully. Verse 19 mentions affliction, roaming, wormwood, and gall. It all points to the depths of despair into which the prophet was plunged. And yet, in spite of the terrible pain, Jeremiah was able to set his eyes upon the Lord. The tone of despair that we find in verses 1 through 19 is suddenly changed in verses 20 through 24. It is as though the black clouds separate for a moment and the sunshine streams through. Jeremiah realized that, yes, we are being punished. Yes, the rod of God's wrath was against them. Yes, God had filled them with terror and distress. Yet, things could have been far worse. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Congregation, Jeremiah was able to see God's faithfulness in a time of unfaithfulness. Judah was unfaithful. Jerusalem was unfaithful. The church was unfaithful. Yet because of the covenant mercies of God, they were not consumed. Even though Jerusalem lay in ruins and the temple destroyed, Jeremiah was able to worship the Lord and praise Him for His mercies. People of God, how do we respond to affliction in our lives? How do we respond to trials, disappointments, suffering, and storms? Instead of doubting God's faithfulness and becoming angry and bitter with God, we need to remember that He is always faithful. And we need to bear in mind that it's only because of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ that we are not consumed. We are unfaithful, but through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. When the prophet Jeremiah observed the destruction of Jerusalem, when he observed the temple in ruins, the priests and prophets slain in the sanctuary, and men and women and children led away to foreign land, he was filled with anguish. Look at verse 48 for a moment. Verse 48, my eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption. In other words, Jeremiah couldn't stop weeping. Yet, as he wept for the city of God, he knew that the Lord remembered His covenant. His promise of salvation could not fail. God's promise of a Redeemer could not be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, the covenant mercies and the covenant faithfulness of God that provided encouragement to the prophet Jeremiah should also provide encouragement to each one of you. Even if all our earthly possessions were to be taken away, we have reason to give thanks for the covenant mercies of God in Jesus Christ. Even if our health fails, even if our strength fails, even if we experience financial difficulties, even if we feel pain and sorrow, we have reason to give thanks for the covenant faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ. We belong to a kingdom that can never be destroyed, a kingdom that is permanent. Whatever may happen to us in this life, we are citizens of a kingdom that is eternal. With this in mind, we can rest in God's faithfulness each and every day. In verse 23, Jeremiah said, God's mercies and compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. Whatever situation you may be in, you can be assured of the faithfulness of God with each new day. The prophet Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He suffered more than most of us can imagine. His ministry was not appreciated by many. His preaching was largely rejected. He spent time in prison in a dungeon where he sank in the mire and had no food or water. But still, the prophet could say, your mercies are and compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, the mercies of God are often hidden and hard to recognize. The mercies of God are not always plain for us to see. When you are at the bottom of a muddy pit with neither food nor water, you don't always see the mercies and compassions of God. You don't always realize His faithfulness. But if we are sensitive to the providence of God, and if we live a God-centered life, then we are able to experience God's faithfulness on a daily basis. Every blessing, whether small or great, is a reminder of God's goodness. Oh, that we might have eyes to see the mercies of God in our lives. Oh, that we might have eyes to see the compassions of God with each new day. Every morning, we have reason to thank God. Every day, there is some reason for praise. Jeremiah saw new mercies even when Jerusalem was a smoking heap of rubble. He saw new mercies when the armies of Nebuchadnezzar trampled the city. He saw new mercies even when prophets and priests were murdered. Every morning again, even through red, swollen eyes, he was able to acknowledge the Lord's mercies and compassions, his faithfulness. Jeremiah did not curse the Lord because of the destruction of Jerusalem. He did not forsake the God of Israel. Instead, with eyes of faith, he continued to trust in the great love and compassion of the Lord. He didn't put his fist in the face of God. He continued to believe that God was both kind and faithful. How we need eyes of faith to see the mercies of God in our lives. How often, brothers and sisters, do we murmur and complain about the ways of God? How often do we grumble when things don't go our way? We sulk over the disappointments in our life and we begin a little private pity party. Poor me. Poor me. Maybe you don't do that, but I do. How often do we become overwhelmed by our situation and fail to see the mercies of God with each new day? If the Apostle Paul could confess the faithfulness of God while chained in a Roman prison, if Jeremiah could confess the faithfulness of God while his beloved city was destroyed, if Christians in Sudan, China, Vietnam, Korea, and many other places can confess the faithfulness of God while facing intense persecution, then should you not also worship your faithful Lord for the daily mercy that you enjoy from His gracious hand? Every morning again, we should be able to say, great is thy faithfulness. In congregation, when we trust in the faithfulness of God, we not only find strength for the present, but also comfort for the future. Jeremiah said in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is my portion. What a beautiful thing to say. Jeremiah here echoes the words of the psalmist in Psalm 73, where the psalmist said, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my" what? "Portion forever." What did Jeremiah mean when he said, "The Lord is my portion"? What did the psalmist mean when he said, "God is my portion forever"? Well, the word "portion" brings to mind the dividing up of the land of Canaan between the tribes of Israel. When the Lord divided up the land in the days of Joshua, the tribe of Levi received nothing. The Lord said to Aaron in Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them." Now listen. "I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel." I am your portion. The tribe of Levi did not have a portion in the land. Their enjoyment was to be in the Lord Himself. They were to be fully satisfied in the Lord. They were to find their complete happiness in Him. When the prophet Jeremiah said, "The Lord is my portion," he was saying, "My happiness and my hope for the future is in God alone, the faithful one." Jerusalem is destroyed, but the Lord is my portion. The temple is leveled, but the Lord is my portion. The land is taken by the enemy, but the Lord is my portion. My people are brought into captivity, but the Lord is my portion. Jeremiah found comfort in the Lord Himself, and with this portion, he was fully satisfied. All earthly portions perish. All earthly portions fail, but the Lord never fails. Congregation, our hope for the future does not rest upon our material prosperity. Our hope for the future does not rest upon our earthly success. Our hope for the future is in our faithful God alone. If the Lord is our portion, what more could we possibly want? An old Puritan writer has said, I quote, "A man that has God for his portion is the happiest man in the world. A man that has God for his portion is the happiest man in the world." As Jeremiah lamented the destruction of Jerusalem, he knew that there was one thing that could never be taken away from him. The Babylonians could destroy his city, they could burn the temple, they could carry away the treasures of the king and the treasures of the house of the Lord, they could take away all his earthly possessions. But there was one thing that they could not take away. "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him." From a human point of view, Jeremiah's situation was hopeless. And yet as he pondered the faithfulness of God, he was able to find comfort for today and hope for tomorrow. This afternoon, the Lord also provides you with that hope as you trust in His faithfulness. The Lord is your portion. How is the Lord your portion? He is your portion through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His suffering and death, your Savior has made you right with God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin, you may have a relationship with the Almighty. You may say with the psalmist, "God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Brothers and sisters, the greatest gift that God has given us is Himself. We have strength for the present and comfort for the future because we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have hope for the future because He's our portion. Our trust is not in material possessions. Our hope for the future is not in a strong economy or a secure job or a thriving business. Our comfort and hope is in the one who is faithful. Andrew Bonar's wife died on October 14, 1864. 20 years later, on the anniversary of her death, he wrote of it in his diary. He spoke of her sudden departure to be with Christ. He also wrote about his grandson, who had recently died at 3 days old. The son of his son had been taken away. Bonar wrote in his diary, broken cisterns all around, but the fountain remains full. Broken cisterns all around, but the fountain remains full. Brothers and sisters, as Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem, he could still say, the fountain remains full. Our city is demolished, our people are captives, our land is possessed by the enemy, but the fountain remains full. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. We need to remember that because God is faithful, He will keep every promise that He has ever made. The Bible contains numerous promises from God, and He will keep each and every single one of them. The question is, do you trust Him? Do you believe that He is faithful? When everything seems to be falling apart in your life or in the Church of Jesus Christ, do you still believe His promises? When He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, do you believe Him? When He says, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, do you believe Him? When He says, I am your portion, I am your Savior, I am your Redeemer, I am your friend, do you believe Him? When He says, I am preparing for you a place in the kingdom of heaven, and I will one day remove you from this veil of tears and grant you eternal joy, do you believe Him? Congregation, there is great comfort in knowing that our God is faithful. God will always do what He has said and fulfill what He has promised. Whatever you may be going through at the moment, look to Him and trust in the faithfulness of your God. There is great security in knowing that God is your portion. What a blessing it is to know Him, to fellowship with Him, to be assured that you are secure for eternity because of Him. The pains, sorrows, disappointments, and heartaches of this life will pass. And those who have trusted in their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, will inherit everlasting blessedness, or as the psalmist said, pleasures evermore. Brothers and sisters, this text has been especially precious to me. On a personal note, back in 1978, when my father and sister were killed by a drunk driver, my mother wrote upon the tombstone, great is thy faithfulness. Her husband had been taken. Her 16-year-old daughter had been taken. And like Jeremiah, with red, swollen eyes, she was able to inscribe on their tombstone, great is thy faithfulness. May each and every one of us trust the faithfulness of God. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let us pray. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your faithfulness to us. Forgive us when we don't trust you. Because, Lord, we know there are times that we don't. We question your wisdom. We question your ways. Sometimes we would even become bitter and angry. We pray that you will help us to see ever more clearly that you are faithful. Even when everyone around us is unfaithful and when we are unfaithful, you remain faithful. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this may be a pillar of support in our lives, that we may be able to see every day again new mercies, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Father, enable us to see your faithfulness even when we are confused about what is happening in our lives. Help us, Lord, to speak of that faithfulness in our homes, to our children, and Lord, to those about us, that even when we go through trials, even when our eyes are red and swollen, that we can yet say, great is thy faithfulness. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us sing that hymn, number 408, Great is Thy Faithfulness. This is a hymn that, ever since the death of my father, has become kind of a theme song in my family. I don't think a family gathering goes by with my family that we don't sing this hymn, because God has been faithful and continues to be. Let us stand to sing 408.